All right, so we're going to be in Acts 19 today. We're going to go through verse 1 through 20 is where we'll stop in verse 20. So I'll read that, and then we'll kind of go through we'll break it down a little bit. But it says, and it happened in chapter 19, verse 1 of Acts. Everybody there? You there yet? Almost. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. If you went to Romans, you went too far. Acts 19, yep, verse 1. What's that? It's on the TV too. Okay. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what they were baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jews, which is traveling place to place, people that traveled, exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcist you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. So Paul's traveling around, and he comes across these disciples. It doesn't really tell us anything about these disciples. It doesn't tell us who they are or where they came from, but it tells us that they were sharing the word of God. But there was something that kind of was missing, and Paul picked up on it. And that's why he asked them of where were, you know, what were you baptized of, right? And do you guys remember when we studied who John the Baptist was? You guys remember who he was? So in Matthew 11:11, if you guys want to turn there, it says, and it's going to be up on the board too, "Truly I say to you," I'm sorry, is it Mark? No, Matthew 11:11. So Matthew 11:11, it says, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." So we know that John the Baptist was very, very powerful. He came here to do a lot of mighty things, right, before Jesus got here. In John 1:19 through 25, it says, "And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, then what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. So they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Isaiah in 40:30 said, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So John was very, I mean, what he came to do, we saw in his father Zechariah, right, in Luke 1:13-17. Do you guys remember how he came, how John came about? Do you guys remember that story? In Luke 1:13-17, it says, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and they'll be disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. So he came, right? John came to prepare a way for Jesus. And he did many things, right? It says that he'll go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn hearts of the fathers. So these people that Paul's talking to, they had been baptized by John, but they weren't filled with the Holy Spirit yet. And we know that as Christians, right, when we become Christians, when we accept Christ as our Savior, when we sit down, right, and we say, I confess Jesus died on the cross for me, we as Christians, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, right? When we accept Christ as our Savior, we get filled. So he explains to them and said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, in what were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And in verse 4, it says, then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. So now, Paul's going to baptize them in the name of Christ Jesus, right? And when we get baptized, baptism doesn't save us, right? Being baptized does not make us Christians. Baptism is us as Christians being obedient before the Lord and being baptized, right? A water baptism. Has everyone in here been baptized? Pretty much everybody? Yeah, you too? Catholic, yeah. I grew up Catholic too, so. So then what's great here in verse 5, it says, then when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And we saw that throughout other studies, every time when the disciples, right? When the disciples got the Holy Spirit upon them, what happened? Right? A lot of great things happened. They started teaching and preaching and healing people. So now they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. So Paul is there still. He's preaching and he's teaching in the synagogues. He still was welcome there. He wasn't banned from there. But when some, in verse 9, it says, but when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. So he was there. Paul was in his ministry preaching and teaching, and some people got offended. Some people started getting upset. It says that they spoke evil of the way before the multitude, the way the people that preach the way, the kingdom of God, right? I don't know what she's doing. So they started complaining, right? That happens everywhere. We talk about how as Christians, right, as we get persecuted a lot. People persecute us, people talk bad against us, people get upset. It happens in the churches, right? A lot of the pastors are dealing with that right now. When we're the pastors are preaching and teaching the Word of God, and people get offended. They stop coming to church. Someone gets offended, they stop coming. They talk about or preach about homosexuality, and people get offended and upset. And so we see that it's not something that's new. This has been going on, right? Even in Paul's ministry. So as a pastor, as a youth leader, as a Christian, you have to realize that as you're teaching and sharing the Word of God, sometimes people are going to get upset with you, right? Especially now with so much animosity and anger and everything that's going on in our world today, people are going to get upset. Just from you being a Christian is going to upset people. And as lawlessness continues to abound and as our worlds start getting divided even more and more, like it said it's going to happen, because we will have people, nation will rise against nation, right? And Buzz taught about that a couple weeks ago. It was really awesome. He talked about nation being ethnic group, right? Ethnic group is going to turn against ethnic group. It's in when the disciples asked Jesus about the end times, he explained that to them. It's going to be this way. So we have to remember as Christians not to lose heart. It gets frustrating. We get angry. We get mad because there's so much division and we're trying to get our message heard and people getting upset with each other and fighting and loitering and rioting, right? We have all this stuff, but it happened even in Paul's ministry. And we'll see that even as we go through Acts 19 even a little bit more. We're going to see people getting upset even more so. So he kept, and we'll go here in verse 10, and this continued for 2 years. So he stayed at the school of Tyrannus, and he continued teaching for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So he's still preaching, man. He's out there, and for 2 years, he's just sharing the word of God. He's just teaching. He's blessing people. They're casting out demons. They're healing people. And he's doing this for 2 years. And in verse 11, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So that's pretty awesome, right? So Paul's there teaching, obviously filled with the Spirit. Obviously he's there sharing the Word of God, and they're taking bits of his clothing, to cast out demons and evil spirits. I mean, that's pretty awesome. We don't get to see much of that today, but how awesome would that be? I mean, to be filled with the Spirit to where your preacher or pastor is like, oh, you have COVID? Oh, here's part of my underwear. Now you don't have COVID, right? How cool would that be? Or here's my dirty sock. Here, take my sock. I'll let you borrow it, right? And now you're healed. I mean, how awesome would that be, right? So he's there and he's healing people and he's teaching and he's doing what he's called to do. Then in 13, it says, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, so itinerant is travelers, traveling place to place, took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcist you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. So these are people, and this is what we have to really understand. There's a lot of people out there that claim to be Christians that don't know Christ. There's a lot of religious groups out there that claim to be Christians, but they don't know Christ, right? We see that in a lot of the religious groups here. They claim to be Christians, and when you talk to them, they don't have any understanding of the Bible. They're not saved. Their doctrines are watered down, and they're kind of scary. So these people are trying to cast out demons and exorcise. And it says here, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, whom did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? So that'd be pretty scary, right? So these people are going around trying to cast out demons. They're not believers. They don't know Christ. They don't have a relationship with him. And they're like, oh, the Jesus that that Paul talks about or whatever, where he's going to cast you out. But this is what's scary. It says, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? So I guarantee you as Christians, you know, we have authority to do things. And sometimes, You know, there's demons and there's evil things happening. And through the name of Jesus Christ, we can do things as a Christian. I've seen it happen. In Jude, right? The Archangel Michael arguing over the body of Moses. What does he say? He says, the Lord rebukes you. Obviously, the angels know Jesus. But he didn't have to fight with Satan. He didn't have to have a confrontation with Satan. He didn't have to have an argument. He just says, the Lord rebukes you. And we do have that type of power, being filled with the Holy Spirit. There are things that we as Christians are able to do. So then the man in verse 16, in whom the evil spirit was, leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. How scary would that be? So this demon-possessed man, they're trying to cast out this demon. And, I mean, there's been a lot of Hollywood movies that have done this and portrayed it, right? The demon doesn't leave. Well, in the name of Jesus, if you're praying in the name of Jesus, how many demons did Jesus cast out, right? And when the angel or the demons said, I am legion, I am many, right? Why are you here? And Jesus cast demons out, and they ran into the pigs, right? And the pigs ran off the cliff. And then they were mad at Jesus because they killed the livestock. He cast out demons of this man that tormented the town and the city, and they weren't mad at that. They weren't even excited. They were mad that the swine, the pigs died. Right? It's just crazy how sometimes we look at things. But how scary would that be? If you saw that, would that freak any of you out? If you saw a demon possessed person and they're praying, and all of a sudden that demon-possessed person jumps on somebody and they overpower them and take them, and next thing you know, they're running out of the building naked and scared and beat up and wounded. That'd be pretty scary. Kind of make me a little... yeah, an exorcism. But the good thing is that, you know, we look at Paul and the apostles, and we look at Jesus casting demons out. They tremble, right? They tremble. The Bible says even the rocks are going to cry out the name of Jesus, right? So he is so powerful. We have him in our heart. We have him as Christians. We have the ability to cast out demons, but because we know Christ. And it's not us doing it. It's Christ doing it through us. So they fled out naked and wounded in verse 17. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. So this is a story that kind of got around, right? So everyone knew about this. The Greeks, the Jews, they all heard about this, and fear fell on them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. So that's pretty amazing that they were all of a sudden like, oh, wow, this is kind of scary. What's going on? But now the name of the Lord was magnified. So how many stories around town do we hear in like a small community like this, and then that we get... It's like, oh, that's not even really a true story. It's like the phone book game, or what is it?
Telephone,
right? I tell you one thing, and by the time it gets back to Ryan, the dolphins are swimming in outer space, right? That's how it works. But this is something where people were like, oh my goodness, they're scared, they're fearful, but the word of the Lord is being magnified. They're starting to study, they're starting to be like, well, who is this Jesus? Who is Paul? And then in 18, it says, and many who had believed had came confessing and telling their deeds. So people started coming to Christ. They started confessing, started telling their deeds. They started getting saved. People started giving their life to Christ. In verse 19, it says, also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So even in today's market, 50,000 pieces of silver would be a lot of money, right? And this is thousands of years ago. But what's great is people saw firsthand, they saw the power of Jesus. They saw Paul, they saw him preaching and people's lives being changed. And these were people that were practicing magic, people that had books. We don't really know if they're books of Satan or black magic or whatever, but they're bringing them and they're burning them. They're like, we don't want any part of this, right? They don't want any part of it. So they're throwing those books in the fire. 50,000 shekels of silver worth of books. I would have to imagine that would be a lot of books. And who knows, it could have been like the only copy. You know, I mean, what do you look at some of these books now and you look and go, man, I want to hold on to this because it's the value, man. It's like the first edition written back in 18-something, but maybe it's not a book we should have. Sometimes we hold on to those things, but that'd be like taking that, tossing it right in the fire. Could be worth thousands and thousands of dollars, but these people didn't care. They were like, man, they saw Christ working in them. They saw Paul healing people, and so they had changed lives, which I'm hoping is what's going to happen in this country. We have maybe some type of revival where people's lives can be changed, where we can see through all our indifferences, right? And we can focus on Jesus. We can focus on Jesus Christ, because that's what's most important, right? It's not about us. It's about us not forsaking our testimony to Jesus. It's about us proclaiming Christ and going out there and teaching and sharing that. And hopefully we can have some healing in this nation. Hopefully we can have, you know, people standing strong and sharing the word. And even though we're yelling and screaming at people, how great would it be if somebody came in all nice and calm and just loved on people and prayed with people, right? And shared how loving and kind Jesus was and is, and how he can change lives. It'd be awesome to see that. You know, see people going to protests and praying and preaching and teaching. That'd be pretty awesome. So then in verse 20, it says, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. So just like today, it's still growing, right? We're still learning. It's still mighty, still prevailing. So we'll stop there on verse 20. We'll pick up 21, I think, next time. And go through the chapter. Yeah, because it's going to go in a little bit more in detail to some other people that get really upset with Paul. Okay, and even more so. And they start a riot. So it's kind of like with everything going on right now, but they actually start a riot. So we'll go through that next week. I don't know if Gary will teach on that or pick up, but we'll start with 21 next week, and we'll go through, hopefully maybe get through the end of the chapter. All right, let's pray and we'll get out of here. Dearly Father, Lord, we are just so grateful to have your word. We're so grateful that these words in the instruction manual that you have given us, that there's nothing new going in our life right now that hasn't happened already, that the disciples haven't faced and the apostles haven't faced, Lord. And we're so grateful that you love us enough that you have called us. We've answered your call and that we are here today and that we know through everything going on that we do have eternal salvation, that trusting in you, knowing you, having a personal relationship with you far exceeds everything that's happening around us, Lord. And we just pray that we will just hold on to your truth, that we will hold on to your instruction manual. And we praise you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.